Welcome, everybody, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays. And I am calling it Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio because Neptune, the planet of transcendence, is what we're going to talk about today, or at least partially. And that's because we have got a partial lunar eclipse in the sign of Pisces, and that's happening tonight. So Neptune is certainly going to be part of the conversation. So this really is a Transcendental Tuesday. So thank you so much for joining me today. This is September 17th, 2024. And on this show, we are going to look at the cosmic dance for the week ahead, but also I'm going to say beyond, because a number of the events that are taking place this week between the planets are ones that are going to have lingering effects. I mean, probably throughout at least the next 3 to 4 months. So, and I'll explain that. Not that other things don't, but in this case, it really is. These are not so much just a one and done kind of situation. Now, of course, that includes the full moon in Pisces tonight, because that's also a partial lunar eclipse. And eclipses tend to be in effect for maybe 4 or 5 months. Sometimes people say until the next eclipse cycle comes around, but it's just one of those things. What I've noticed is before an eclipse happens, and by the way, they always come in pairs. Sometimes they're trios, but before that pair of eclipses comes, all of a sudden it just feels like there's all kinds of messages, or there's all kinds of synchronicities and coincidences, or things happen that seem a little out of the ordinary. Now, sometimes those things don't seem so much out of the ordinary until a few weeks later. And that's what I mean about these eclipses being in effect. It's almost as if the moonlight reveals something to us that we didn't see before, or in a different way than we have seen before. And I say moonlight because even though, you know, it's not always a moonlight on a new moon, there is no moonlight, but it still just feels like it kind of wakes up our intuition, or it gives us an opportunity to just see something differently. You know, maybe something in the dark is all of a sudden revealed in the light and we go, oh, I don't even remember that being there. And I mean, don't you ever do that? I'm in my yard a lot of times at night, and that's because I've got a little dog, and so we go out there together, and he just loves to roam the yard and roust the rabbits, etc. But oftentimes there's something and I go, okay, what is that over there? You know, and I don't recognize it. And if it is concerning, then I actually, you know, I get up and go check it out. And almost always it's, you know, it's just some kind of debris, a leaf or a piece of a limb or something like that that's fallen in the yard. But it's interesting how from afar it can look like all different kinds of things, because I'm looking at it in the moonlight. So in any case, we're going to talk about that partial lunar eclipse that's coming. That is tonight. It's 7:34 p.m. Pacific time, so a little bit later if you're not in the Pacific time zone. And it is just partial, so it's just going to be like a little tiny slice. In fact, you may have a hard time even noticing that the slice is out of the moon. But that's going to be tonight if you want to see that. Then at the end of the week, on Sunday, we're going to have the fall equinox. That's when, astrologically speaking, the sun enters Libra. So that is a brand new season. It's fall, autumn, but it's also a new astrological quarter. So it seems to me that when the sun moves into one of the cardinal signs, like Aries or Libra, Capricorn, that's when, and Cancer is another one, but that's when there's a change of season, and it seems like it just has a little more potency, or at least gets a little more of our attention, because something's changing, and we're going through, you know, a new process. We do it all the time, kind of like just the new moons every month. Well, this is a new quarter. But in this case, too, on that same night, on Sunday night, we're also going to see Venus entering Scorpio. Now, Venus changes signs, what, every 3 to 4 weeks. But this one is interesting because Venus is the ruler of Libra, which is where the sun is moving to. So those kind of little synchronicities, or those little attachments, whatever you want to call them, they're little segues, they're like storylines, they make the storyline a little more interesting. So that's what we've got going on. We're going to talk about that. In fact, we're going to explore as much as possible during this next hour. But as a reminder, please read Mark's Power Peak. That's the online newsletter that's available for free. You can sign up for it at 12listen.com. It comes out weekly on Saturday evening. And I write an article called The Week Ahead. And that details much of what we talk about on the show, but it also gives you a whole lot more information about every single day in the week ahead. What's happening? Where's the moon? So those of you who like to track the moon and know what sign it's in, which is very helpful sometimes in just deciphering people's moods. You know, where's the moon? What's it doing? And it's a good way to learn astrology, too. If you track the moon and just say, you know, what are your observations when the moon is in a particular sign? You know, you can learn a lot that way. It'll also, in that article, you'll see the planetary interactions, and certainly you'll see the highlights when a planet changes signs, the full moons, the new moons, the eclipses, and the void of course moons also. And generally, hopefully, some helpful advice about the tone of the cosmic dance. Because one of the reasons it's so much fun for me to write that is because it is like sort of being a mystery writer. You see all the things that are going on at a certain time. You see kind of the outer planets, the inner planets, you know, and the moon, and how they're dancing around, and how is the energy different. And it really is different than just looking it up in a book and going, oh, the moon is in Libra. We must want to go to a concert. Yes, maybe that's true. Or maybe you're thinking about love. Or in this case, it's in Pisces. So maybe you want to kind of curl up with a good book, or you want to see an old movie. But then you add the other layers of what else is going on during that day, and it can really change the story. So I think there's part of me that's a natural storyteller. So I love looking at like the different pieces and imagining how they're going to play out for a certain day. So that's a long way of saying, please read Mark's Power Peak, because you'll get all the information. So if we don't quite cover it, you know, on this show, then you'll still get it. And plus, there's a number of astrologers who have shows here on 12 Radio, including Mark Husson, who is on at 8 o'clock Pacific time on Monday mornings. So, you know, make sure you listen to these if you're interested in astrology especially, because it just kind of gives you a leg up. And not that the planets make us do anything, but they certainly reflect consciousness. That's what it feels like to me. They're just reflecting our consciousness. So we don't blame the planets, although sometimes it's really fun to say, oh yeah, that's Neptune and Pisces, all right. It's fun to blame them, but it's more that they're just a reflection. It's just one of those tools that we can use to understand what's going on in our world. You know, just like we have all kinds of other tools. Like the closest one is, I'd say, like the weather report. I mean, most people now are pretty, I'm not going to say addicted, but you listen to the weather report, you're going to figure out, is it going to rain today? Is it going to snow? Is there going to be wind? What are the high and low temperatures? And they're not always perfect. We certainly know that. But there's a prediction. And it doesn't tell us, that prediction of the weather doesn't tell us whether or not we're going to like it. It just tells us what's going on. So if you like the snow, if you like the rain, you want to plan an event around weather, then it gives you a heads up. Now, one other thing before we get going really intensely here is that we're on sale today on 12listen.com, because, of course, there's an eclipse tonight. That's a special thing. So if you want to check in with one of your favorite advisors, you know, we're on sale, as far as I know, all day and evening. I'm not sure when Mark's going to change it, but I think we're on sale for the entire period celebrating that lunar eclipse tonight. So I will be on this afternoon and probably into early evening. But please know that if you don't see me as available, please, you know, put in a request for a callback. Or you can also request a scheduled call at a time that is convenient for you, either today or through the week or whenever is good for you. All right, so I do try to be on, but like I said, I have a little dog and he has his needs, if you know what I mean. So we, you know, I turn off from time to time and go out and spend some time in the yard with him. All right, so the cosmic dance for the week of September 16th. Oh, and by the way, please join me over on Facebook if you'd like to come to our private group. I do try to keep track of what people are saying and interacting over there. So if you'd like to do that, I would love to see you. Hey, Leslie and Renee, thank you for being over here today. And I haven't refreshed that, so I know there might be some other people in there. James is usually there. So in any case, thank you for joining me. If you do have a question, I'll try to keep an eye over there. But you know me, I get so wrapped up in what I'm talking about. I love this stuff. I mean, I truly do. I love this stuff. In fact, before this morning's show, there was something that was intriguing me, and I went over there and I was checking out all this stuff, and all of a sudden I looked at the clock and I said, hey, you got to pull your focus back over here. It's time to do your show. So in any case, thank you for joining me, whether you're in the chat room or you're listening to this live or you're listening to this through the archives of 1-2 Radio. That's the on-demand section. So this week's mantra, it's kind of complicated, but not really. I'm calling it, watch for the symbols, keep your spiritual toolbox nearby, and be ready to travel. Have those passports up to date. And what I really mean by that, and it's metaphysical more than real. I'm not saying go hop on a train, although if you want to go hop on a train, do that. But it strikes me that as I was talking about this full moon tonight, there really are all kinds of messages coming through. And so it's sort of like when I say be ready, it's, you know, be ready for changes, be ready for aha moments, be ready, just have an expectation that maybe some really good information is going to, you know, land in your lap, or maybe somebody's going to come back into your life that you haven't seen for a long time, or that, and by the way, that could be a memory. It could even be a person that's no longer, you know, in the body. It could be some kind of, you know, change in your feeling or your relationship with that person. You know, all kinds of changes. And already, like I said, for the last 2 weeks, I cannot believe how many little synchronicities have been happening. I mean, I've really noticed an uptick in those happening. I mean, in my life, I feel like they're always there. But this week, it just feels like they've been continuous. And so I was like, yep, for sure, something's going on cosmically. And I think, I mean, there again, I'm going to attribute it to the eclipse. But it doesn't have to be that necessarily. But those always intrigue me, because those are little messages. And I would also mention that sometimes I don't think we even know them. Like, for instance, you might meet somebody. Maybe you meet somebody randomly, or you meet somebody at a party, or somebody mentions a name to you, and it doesn't mean anything to you this week. You're not thinking about it at all. But 2 weeks, 2 months from now, all of a sudden that person becomes important. So just note what's going on for you at this time, because it could end up being important later. And then you might go, oh my gosh, that's the person that I met, or that was the name that I heard, or that was the topic or the book or whatever it is. And that has happened to me a number of times. And it's also happened to a number of the people that I know, both friends and clients. You know, all of a sudden, some they go, oh my gosh, it was right after the eclipse, or it was right during the eclipse when I met that person. So just pay attention. And, you know, be like a little kid. Just be curious and make it be a little game or just fun. Because the full moon in Pisces is always associated with healing, but it's healing on multiple levels. So it's not just physical. It can be emotional. It can be psychological. It can just be coming to a new interpretation of what something means to you. It can all of a sudden have a new meaning for you that feels positive, that makes you feel more whole, which is what healing really is. And the image that I keep getting for this full moon in Pisces is also a lighthouse. And I love that image because, you know, think about it. Those lighthouses, they're out in these, usually they're right on the edge of the land, right? Maybe on a big rock or in a very rocky shore. In fact, a lot of times they are on a rocky shore because their job is to make the ships aware of getting that close to the coastline. So there's all kinds of images and and, you know, messages that you can get from that image. But just think of the lighthouse. It's always there. It's always going to be that beacon of light that when you get lost, you can turn around and look for it. Or possibly it comes up when you didn't even know you were lost. And I think this is an internal lighthouse. And that's what a Pisces full moon can be. And it's a reminder, not just that there's a lighthouse tonight, but it's a reminder there's always a lighthouse. You have an internal lighthouse. So when you know you're lost, or even when you don't know you're lost, there is a guiding light within you that can always be there. And it's a sure thing. It can be comfort in the chaos. And, you know, quite honestly, I think we are in a world of very strong and almost severe contrasts right now. And so, you know, every day you may get up and you're going to go, I'm going to have a wonderful day. I'm going to have a positive day. And then before you know it, something goes on and you're like, how can I make positive out of this? I don't want to be a bliss ninny. I don't want to be a Pollyanna. And, you know, I will admit these things can be very difficult sometimes. But always remember, it's your interpretation of what's happening. And oftentimes we don't really know what the end result is. We think we know in the moment exactly how something's going to work out, exactly what it means, and whether or not it's going to be good or bad or nothing for us. And a lot of times, at least in my case, I'm wrong. And that's one of the things I'm certainly learning, is for all this thinking I know exactly how something should be, it's just not true. Oftentimes, either I didn't have all the information, or maybe I misinterpreted some of the other things that could come up in the situation. So we are living in a world of sharp contrast, and I think this lighthouse or this particular Pisces full moon comes along and just says, there's another way to see. There's some other piece, that intuition that you can rely on, that no, it's not rational, but it's something else that you can rely on. Now, I know I'm spending a lot of time laying this out, and we may not get to all the details that I really wanted to today, because the other thing I wanted to kind of just mention, if only because this is one of those things, it just keeps coming into my mind. And I every week I think, oh, don't talk about that. You're really talking about 2025. But especially in this week of the eclipse, this just keeps coming up for me. So I'm going to mention it, and then we're going to leave it, because we will be talking about it a lot. And that is that we're in a situation, you may have noticed, if you follow the astrology, you may have noticed how many planets are in the very end of their signs. Well, what's significant about that is, you know, as you listen to the show and you follow astrology, you know the moon changes signs every 2.5 days. The sun changes signs every 30 days. You know, Mars changes signs every 6 weeks. Venus every, like, maybe 4 weeks. Mercury sometimes as little as 17, 18 days. You know, every 3 weeks or so, it's in a new sign. So, you know, we get used to those planets making all those changes. But those planets that are the farthest out from the sun, we often call those the outer planets. They're really out there, like Pluto. You know, Pluto takes 12 to 28 years to, you know, to change signs. It has an orbit, takes about 250 years to go around the sun. And so when we say Pluto's changing signs, that's a really big deal. And as you know, Pluto has been playing back and forth between the end of Capricorn and the beginning of Aquarius during this year. Well, by the end of this year, Pluto is finally going to be in Aquarius, where it will stay until 2044. And that's a big deal. And then it's going to be set. It's going to be there. But what else is happening is, the three planets that are the farthest out, next to Pluto, is Neptune. Neptune is in a sign for 14 years on average. So that's still pretty long. 165 years it takes it to go around the sun. Well, guess what? It's at 28 Pisces. And it's just kind of playing back and forth, because in 2025, by March, it's moving into Aries. Now, that's a big deal. Now, in truth, it's going to retrograde like most of the planets do. And so then at the end, you know, somewhere it's going to retrograde out. I think it's going to be in the fall of 2025. It's going to retrograde out of Aries, you know, and back into Pisces just for a short while. And then by January 2026, it's going to be in Aries for a good long time. Like I said, for the 14, 15 years. And these are some of the things we're going to talk about. It hasn't been there since 1861 to 1875. That's the period of time Neptune was last in Aries. Now, I'm also going to remind you, when we go back, you can easily go, oh, what were the events of 1861 to 1875? It doesn't mean those events are going to be repeated, because remember, all the other planets weren't in the same location. We've got a different pattern. Once again, it's that story that we're talking about, right? But Neptune is definitely moving. Like Pluto, these two planets are making big changes. So we're on the precipice of this big cosmic change. But then Uranus is also going to change next year. Uranus, which is currently in Taurus, usually stays in a sign for 7 to 8 years. And it's going to move into Gemini, and I believe that's going to be in July of 2025. And once again, it will retrograde back into Taurus for a short while, and then it's going to be back in Gemini as of April of 2026. So see, I know we're really getting ahead of ourselves, but the point is, we've got three planets that for the most part, we've just, you know, let's say for the last 7 or 8 years, we've been pretty comfortable. Here's Pluto and Capricorn, here's Uranus and Taurus, and here's Neptune and Pisces. Those are like, kind of, they just fall off your lips if you're an astrologer, because it's been going on for so long. And now, as we close in, you know, to fall of this year in 2024, we're looking at momentous change as all three of those planets are now going to be in different signs. And by the way, right now they're in earth and water signs. Well, guess what? Now they're going to be in air and fire signs. And what's also interesting, I looked it up, Uranus in Gemini, the last time it was there was 1941 to 1945, but it was also there 1861 to 1865, which means it was also in Gemini the last time Neptune was in Aries. So see, this is fun, right? I mean, this is just like pulling the threads, looking at the story. But like I said, that just keeps knocking on the back of my brain. You know, just going, look at this, look at this. And so maybe it's just because sometimes, there again, we're living in this world of contrast. And sometimes you just go, I just need a bigger perspective. You know, sometimes we get all caught up and, oh my God, this has never happened before. You know, whatever, you know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And then astrology gives us the opportunity, like history, to look at how events have unfolded before. To look at how energy has come together before. And so a lot of maybe what's going on for us this fall, just keep it as a background. Keep it as a background. Those three planets are changing signs. Now, the other thing that I want you to keep as a background is that Pluto, sitting there at 29 Capricorn, is in a really good relationship to Neptune, which is sitting at the very end of Pisces. It's sitting in a sextile. That's a positive relationship. Uranus sitting in Taurus, at the very end of Taurus, is actually in a really nice harmonizing relationship with Pluto and in a sextile to Neptune. So even though we've got some really kind of, you know, clashing energy elsewhere in the cosmos, those three planets, they're pretty much getting along. Those three planets are kind of sitting as a background to, I'm not going to say a master plan, I don't believe that, but it's more that they are getting along. So I want you to know that somewhere in the cosmos, those three planets, which tend to have a strong effect, or at least an enduring effect on us, they're all sitting there in those signs and pretty much getting along. They're sextiling, they're trining. You may have even noticed as you read the Power Peak, you know, I'm talking about it from time to time. So, you know, it's nice that those guys are not fighting. It's really good that we've got that. So we are going to come back to that at some point, because like I said, it just keeps coming to me. We'll see, you know, at what point that we really start talking about those planets changing. But I want you to know they are changing. Significant things in our lives are changing in a reflection to those planets, mass consciousness. So now let's come back from the future and let's look at this week. So that new or the full moon at 25 Pisces, which is also a partial lunar eclipse. And by the way, that moon, I don't know if you've been watching it, but I literally, like last night, I woke up about, I don't know, 3:30. And it was just like beaming through my bedroom window. I hadn't really gotten the blinds completely closed. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is that? And it's like, this is just like filling my room with moonlight, which was wonderful. But it was enough to wake me up. I mean, truly, it was a lot of light. So that was kind of fun and just a good reminder that, yep, tonight is the lunar eclipse. So already there's just such an abundance of insights and messages. I hope that you're paying attention to those. And also that reminder that, see, now we're kind of in eclipse season. We're going to have another eclipse because the next new moon will be a solar eclipse. And in fact, I've got that written down. It's October something. I will come back to it in a minute because I don't have it right here where I am in my notes. But one thing about a lunar eclipse, when you think about the full moons are when, you know, we've come off the new moon, we've had this project, we've got something going on, and it comes to fruition. We finally get to see, is this working or is it not working? Now, of course, all projects in our life take, you know, they don't just take a month to come together. This is an analogy. But in terms of the moon, it does. It takes just those 2 weeks for that moon to become full. And then we get to see, this is what we've got. Then the moon slowly lets the light out, so to speak, every single night. So once we hit the culmination, which is the full moon tonight, we see it. There it is. This is what we created. This is what's going on. So oftentimes what we notice is there is something in our life that really has come to fulfillment, or it's come to as far as it's going to go. So now what happens every single day until we reach that new moon 2 weeks from now, it is going to release and reset is what we're going to do. And by the way, that it's Wednesday, September or October 2nd. October 2nd is when the solar eclipse is going to be the new moon in Libra. That's when the next one is coming. But in any case, what it's going to do, so now, especially when we have a lunar eclipse that is related to, because, you know, we don't have an eclipse every time we have a new moon or full moon, but when we do, I think it's a particular message about releasing and resetting. And the image that I like is the whole idea of reboot, you know, just like on a computer. And like, for instance, I've been having a little bit of an issue lately. I don't know where this is coming from. There's got to be a message in this. I will be writing something in my Word document, and all of a sudden my computer switches to another language. Sometimes it's Spanish, sometimes it's French, and it's been Italian. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. So all of a sudden, everything in my document, it's all spell check, because it's not right. And I have not quite figured out what key I'm hitting or what's happening that it's changing languages. I mean, there's something kind of funny in that, isn't there? So, but what I found is, what do you think I do? I turn it off. I mean, I literally close out the application and bring it back up. And guess what? Then it's fine. It's back to English. So when in doubt, we reboot. Now, I'm not indicating that that means that you don't ever have to figure out something or fix something. But oftentimes, we spend all this time going back into the past. In fact, I remember a quote from Louise Hay, and she goes, "You don't go through last night's garbage to figure out what you're going to eat tonight." You know, and there's a limit to how much we should go back and just go through all the darkness and try to analyze all the darkness, right? So sometimes you just reboot and let it reset. So you have to figure that out on your own, because like I said, I'm not indicating that there's never a reason to go to therapy, or there's never a reason to go back and figure out, why didn't this work? What went wrong? You know, there's reasons to do that. But on the other hand, an eclipse is an opportunity to just say, you know, I'm pulling the plug. I don't understand this, and I want to clean the slate. I just want a fresh slate here, you know? So I'm going to turn off the computer. I'm just going to, woo, let my mind just go to that place, and I'm going to reboot. So just kind of think about that. Sometimes that's the opportunity that we have. Now, as we look at this full moon, what's going on? Well, this morning, see, some of the insights may come along this area. This morning, Saturn had a relationship with the moon. They kind of had this little hookup, because remember, Saturn is in Pisces. So there again, I'm paying attention to the details. What's going on with this moon as it's on its way to meet the sun or to oppose the sun? So it got together with Saturn. Now, that kind of energy tends to be what I call sobering, because it's a serious kind of energy. And it always brings you back to this idea of what is your purpose or what is your responsibility. But in this particular case, I don't think the idea is to just go, I'm responsible for everything. You know, if I think it, then it's going to happen. You know, it's not getting excessive or extreme with what you think you're responsible for. But remembering, especially because we're talking to Pisces moon here, it's an inner knowing, the cause and effect that's working in your individual life. And this to me just seems really clear. It's things like blaming other people for what you're thinking or for having a bad mood or something, just blaming other people. And I call it being a grievance collector. And by the way, I didn't make that up. I read that in a book somewhere like in the 70s. I know I'm dating myself here, and I can't think. Emmett Fox or one of the other spiritual masters that Kelly Whetstone's always talking about, you know, she would probably know exactly where that phrase came from because she studies all those people. But it was a book that I read in the 70s, and they talked about being a grievance collector. And you know what? In a sense, it makes me laugh because I think how we do that. You know, do we have our own little purse or briefcase or psychological pocket or whatever you want to call it? We keep all our grievances in there. You know, this is what you did to me. This is what the bank did to me. This is what the university did to me. This wasn't fair. This is how life has treated me unfairly. And so do we want to be a grievance collector? Always thinking that something outside of ourselves, a person, an event, or something is responsible not only for what's happening in our life, but also for our bad attitudes or not feeling good about something. And what I say is Saturn, you have an inner Saturn, Saturn that just says, hey, you're responsible because you're an adult or you're mature or you can grab onto your own power. That's what Saturn says. Hey, guys, you've got a purpose. Let me show you, let me help you how to empower yourself with your purpose. And so I think that's part of this full moon as well. Saturn says, yeah, if there's anything to let go of right now, to reboot, it's like forget being the grievance collector. Every time you find yourself doing that, just laugh and move on. Now, one of the other things that could be going on with this full moon, I'm just going to call it overextension, because the moon is squaring Jupiter. Now, of course, Jupiter is that planet of expansion. It's that planet that makes everything bigger in your life. It's wonderful. It's considered to be one of the beneficial planets, of course. It's happiness. It's joy. It's expectation. You know, the expectation of abundance and having more than enough. But that's it, more than enough. Jupiter can be overextension, overindulgence, and that sort of thing. So the moon actually kind of provokes, it squares Jupiter this afternoon, or maybe it was this morning, I can't remember exactly, but it just, once again, it was like one of those little clues. Maybe this is about looking at our lives and where have we overextended, either because we buy too much, we won't let go of things in our lives, we, you know, we're not necessarily hoarders, but, you know, where is it in our life that we just collect or collect or collect, and it's not just grievances? Or where do we just not, where are we not realistic, or where do we think we should get something for nothing? Because that's the other thing. That's one of the shadow sides of Jupiter, is believing that we deserve something for nothing. Now, on one hand, I guess that could be a great metaphysical principle, right? That you're just deserving because who you are. But you know, when we sometimes get into that mode of, oh, this, you know, I should just be luckier. This should just come to me. I shouldn't have to work for this. I shouldn't have to, you know, I shouldn't have to deserve it, or whatever it is. Sometimes we just slip over that line into what maybe you call laziness, you know, or being insensitive. You know, are we consuming things that really belong to somebody else or whatever? Now, I don't want to go too far into there, because I don't want to get into the pessimistic or you only deserve so much. But just recognize that sometimes Jupiter and that kind of energy, especially in relation to the square and the moon, has to do with believing that, you know, just wanting something for nothing, or rather just... like, you know, it has to do with making promises that you can't keep, that kind of thing. And it's okay. You don't have to tell somebody that you'll do something just to impress them. If you can't do it, you can't do it. So just kind of look at that. You know, do you have this interest in impressing other people, or making yourself something that you're not? Because once again, what that really says is I'm not enough. It's very not Jupiter. It's saying I'm not enough, and you are enough. But in general, with moods, especially this afternoon, we could get into that thing where we're upset. You know, that's the other kind of mundane thing that happens with Jupiter and the moon, is that, you know, all of a sudden we find people's reactions are way over the top. So if you find something's way over the top, then just go, whoa, that's Jupiter. That's probably Jupiter in the moon. And also, the moon is not in a good connection to Venus in Libra. Venus is still in Libra, and they're not in a good association today. So there again, your feelings could get hurt because somebody overreacts, or maybe you overreact. Or, you know, just in general, you know, things aren't feeling quite so good. That's okay. Just know that Libra, you know, Venus in Libra wants everything to be balanced and pretty and wonderful and good. And when they're not, she's not too happy. So there could be just a little bit of that ickiness this afternoon, okay? But we're going to have this great full moon. And it's also, by the way, let's go back to Neptune and Uranus. Both Neptune and Uranus are sitting in a really good association. And so Neptune sitting next to the moon is really going to amp up the psychic and intuitive energy all day long and tonight, and maybe in the next few weeks. So think about that. This is a really supercharged moon with psychic energy. Being in Pisces and being next to Pisces ruler Neptune. So believe me, there's some psychic stuff going on. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that you think or that everything that you dream comes true. Don't get into that kind of a place. But just know, you know, those hunches, you know, if you have a hunch about something, follow it up, because it's very psychic energy today. Then also Uranus is sitting, like I said, at the very end of Taurus. So it's sitting in a sextile, a very supportive relationship to the moon, but also in a super harmonizing relationship to the sun, because it's trine. And by the way, that's going to actually, the sun trine Uranus is going to be perfect tomorrow. So that energy is continuing for us. But remember, Uranus shatters the status quo. So, you know, between Neptune being super psychic and then Uranus shattering things, we can really see, I mean, we could get a glimpse into something that we totally didn't understand and we totally didn't knew, you know. Something new is coming to us. Maybe some new truth that is really, it's going to liberate us. And why is it going to do that? Because it's going to allow us to see how something in our life just isn't true. It's not holding us back in the way that we thought it was, or we don't need to do it anymore. So Uranus can really release some feelings of empowerment and freedom and liberation. So see, we got this is a great, great full moon. And of course, then we've got something to look forward to, the new moon in Libra on October 2nd, which is the solar eclipse. So once again, when I said, you know, have your spiritual toolbox ready, I mean, understand that you're going to want to look at life from a spiritual or a metaphysical viewpoint, especially now, but also clear those decks. You know, look at what you need to do. Have those bags, in a sense, you know, packed and ready to go traveling. Because on that new moon in Libra, we're ready to start something new. And with the equinox this weekend, that is new beginnings for sure. The beginning of a new season. And remember that even if you don't understand all the messages that are coming through right now or yesterday or today or in the next few weeks, you probably will at some point. They're going to come back. And I'll tell you what, I've never gone back and looked at a few things in my life, whether or not they happened around eclipses. But I can tell you, I've had some things happen 20, 30 years later. Met somebody and we start talking and we realize we had a connection two or three decades before. And in a really odd way, like I met a woman who, it turns out, I did not get a job that I really, really wanted and I thought I was perfect for. It turns out she knows who did get the job. And by the way, it was in another state. You know, when I met her, it was decades later and it was in another state. And truly, she told me how her life was changed by the woman who got the job that I didn't get. And so it's like, and now all of a sudden, she and I are in each other's lives. And it's just, it feels like a little miracle. You know, everything that transpired. But, you know, all I could see at the time is that I was disappointed. I didn't get the job. I had no idea about some of the other things that would transpire and some of the other things that would happen. So it was wonderful to get that kind of confirmation 20 or 30 years later. And I don't remember which it was, but I mean, we could not even believe that we had that connection in our lives. So you never know. Even if you don't understand, just enjoy all the things that are going on in your life. Now, I know we have a little bit of time to talk about that fall equinox. That is when the sun enters Libra. That's going to be this coming Sunday, which is September 22nd. It's going to happen early in the morning at 5:44 a.m. That is Pacific time, a new astrological quarter. So some things to know about Libra. It's represented by the scales of balance, but also the scales of justice. That's the thing. I think I always talk about that because as a new astrologer in the 80s, I just saw Libra as, oh, this is all about love and harmony and dancing and music and creativity and grace and all of that. I don't think I wanted to look at the side that it had to do with justice. But those scales of balance, yes, it's about all the harmonizing. It's about diplomacy and negotiating. But it's also about being willing to do what it takes to really get those scales back to balance. So this is a sign that's ruled by Venus, the planet of attraction and values. And that's where you see it, because what do I find attractive? What do I find beautiful? What do I find meaningful? But also, what's the real value here? You know, it's not just about satisfying sensual pleasures and desires. This is the sign that's most often associated with love, romance, and partnership, but it has those other qualities like diplomacy, grace, beauty, culture. I always associate Libra with the culture, the arts, museums, and dances, and music, and theater even, because anything that's cultural, what makes us who we are as a people, you know, those routines, those things that are just literally for pleasure, you know, the expression of creativity, the expression maybe of pure joy. You know, being able to put those things together and you know, represent something. It's like, yeah, why do we need dance? Why do we need music? But of course we do. It feeds the soul. And those cultural things that feed the soul, to me, those are very Libra. But it is also about the fairness and the justice. And the other thing, remember, it's a cardinal sign, meaning it occurs at the very beginning of a season, like Aries and Cancer and Capricorn. They're motivated. They're assertive. So as much as Libra is about love and romance, it's not a pushover, not at all. And Libra to me, and this is particular to this particular season, because here again, I try to tune into how is Libra playing with the other signs or what's going on right now. What I kept coming up with is that right now we've got our minds in two different places. We've got them on our aspirations and our dreams for the future, but also in the current moment. And I thought, but what's important is sometimes we feel isolated. Like I know where I am now, and I see in the distance where I want to be, but I just can't imagine the path. I can't figure out how I'm going to get from here to there. And I think during the Libra season, particularly in this month, that's one of the things you can think about. If you have some goals or you have something in the future, there again, you don't need to get worried if you don't know what the path looks like. But I want you to start imagining what the path could look like. How are those two things connected? And you don't have to know, but just start imagining it. And also remember, don't fall into the trap of believing that there's only one way. There's always going to be more than one way. So if there's a twist or turn, one of the paths gets blocked, you know, just remember that there's going to be another way. There just is. And the other symbol that keeps coming to me about Libra, and this is just typical, is it's a ballerina. And if you know anything about ballet or dance in general, you know, you don't stand on your toes without making these continual, necessary little micro adjustments. So that balance, that beauty, moving across the floor, whatever it is because we're making continual little adjustments in our balance. And that's what Libra is very, very good at. She's perfect at that. So just keep that in mind. It's not about planting yourself and saying, okay, this is it. This is right. This is the perfect house. This is the perfect job. This is whatever. Please remember that you're making continual adjustments. So as you look and you imagine that path, then imagine also that that path very likely could change. And remember, too, that what's also going to be happening on Sunday is that we're going to have Venus, the planet that rules Libra, she is going to move into Scorpio. So see, that in itself is another little piece of the puzzle. It's another little piece of what's going to make the Sun and Libra cycle, I'm not going to say different, but it's going to add a different dimension to it. And as one thing I want to emphasize too, because, and here again, it just kind of came to me, but I just thought this could be important. And that is that when I look at a person's chart, the eighth house is naturally the Scorpio house. But the eighth house, what's interesting to me is that it often determines or it often speaks or gives us a lot of clues as to how a person likes to have vacation, how they like to recreate themselves. Because think about it, Scorpio is very much the death and rebirth, right? It's the phoenix rising from the ashes. And so how does a person, and look at the word recreation or recreate yourself. They're the same word. And it's kind of funny because oftentimes if not always, but you know, and I'm not saying that whatever your eighth house is the only thing you like to do, but look at the eighth house. Is it fire? You know, you want excitement. Maybe you want urban areas. Maybe you want, maybe you like to go to the high desert. Is it a water sign? So where you like to recreate yourself is always near water. I want to go to the beach. I want to go to a river. I want to go to a lake. I want water in my life. I want to go to a metaphysical retreat, that kind of thing with water. Air. Air is where, hey, I want to go to New York City. I want to go to San Francisco. I want to go to someplace, a retreat where we can talk and talk and talk. I want to learn something new. And maybe it's Gemini and I want to have lots of activities that I can do. If it's Earth, maybe you like to go hiking. Maybe you like to go to the mountains. Maybe you like something that's really, really steady. Maybe you want to go and soak yourself in a mud bath, you know, in some kind of spa or retreat. But anyway, that's a little thing. It's not a secret, But it's a little revelation. If you want to know how to recreate yourself and literally turn that into recreation, turn it into something that feels like it gets you out of your particular body or gets you out of your life, gets you into something new, look at the sign on your eighth house. And also look and any planets that are sitting in the eighth house. But that leads me to what I'm thinking is, I think it's a really helpful exercise. I would look at your eighth house if you know what it is, but to also think about, you know, with Venus and Scorpio, we go deep, deep, deep. We look at our passions. We look at what's valuable to us. So really think about the people, the qualities, the places that strongly attract you. What do you like to do on vacation or taking a break? How do you refuel? Think of it that way. How do you refuel and recreate yourself? And think about all, and there again, you probably have all different kinds of vacations or holidays or things that you like to do. So it's not like you're limited to only one or two things, but it's uncanny, really, how that eighth house can really reveal that to you. Where Scorpio is in your chart, that can really reveal it to you as well. Because remember, everybody doesn't have Scorpio in their eighth house. So you might also look to where Scorpio is. That's how you're going to recreate yourself. But do you prefer to be alone or with a group? Do you like the excitement of urban areas, you know, shuffling along the streets of New York? Or do you like something that's really quiet? Do you want to be sitting in a hot tub in a mountain retreat? Do you want silence? Do you want a rural area? Something that's really secluded? And so even though you may not be doing any of those things right now, what I'm suggesting is think about it. You know, give yourself some time to just simply daydream and really let Venus in Scorpio take you there. How is it you recreate yourself? Because that's going to tell you a lot about your passions. And, you know, and don't be judgmental about any of them. What is it you really like? You know, that eighth house is also about sexuality. It's about intimacy. It's about how you really connect with people on a whole nother level. And by the way, it's also about other people's money. I mean, there's lots of different things that are associated with the eighth house. But today, we're focusing on how do you recreate yourself? How do you get in touch with your passions, your cravings, your desires? That's what the eighth house is about. That's what Venus in Scorpio is about. So I want you to just, you know, think about that as Venus moves into Scorpio, and that's going to be next Sunday night. All right, guys. Well, there's still lots going on. I hope you will check out Mark's Power Peak, not only the week ahead, but the other articles that are there. And you will find me on 12listen.com this afternoon. And like I said, if you see me checked out for a short while, I'm just out in the yard with Tucker and I'll probably be back. But you can always put in that call request or you can, you know, for a scheduled call. And today may not be the best day for you. That's okay too. There's always time-based sessions that are available as well. That's where you always get a discount because you buy a block of time and you get to use it when you want to. So everybody, I hope you have an incredible, incredible week. And Paula, thank you so much. She posted this beautiful purple picture saying how much she likes the lighthouse. There's a lighthouse within you. Beautiful CA. Thank you. That was very, very sweet of you, Paula. Thank you. Love that color. It just kind of jumps off the page over there on Facebook. So everybody, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today. Thanks to the listeners, everybody who's listening to this from the on-demand section and everybody in the chat room. And thanks to our producer, Jay Barbell. And please keep it tuned because one of those authors that you'll always find in the Power Peak is Kelly Whetstone. And her show is up next, Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. She'll be talking, I'm sure, about some of those old masters and their wonderful sayings and their wonderful truths that never go out of style. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12 Radio, where we are transforming, transcending the way we listen to the world.